With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The disagreements between President Trump and the late Senator John McCain are emblematic of a wider split within the Republican Party.
The two men didn't get along personally, and that really did point to a deeper divide they had ideologically about America's place in the world.
Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas joins us with the details. First, these top stories. The U.S. and Mexico have reached a deal to rewrite portions of the North American Free Trade Agreement. The deal overhauls rules for building cars in Mexico to ensure more are produced there using local raw materials. It also aims to raise wages and provide new rights to Mexican labor unions. President Trump hailed the deal on Monday.
I like to call this deal the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. I think it's an elegant name. I think NAFTA has a lot of bad connotations for the United States because it was a ripoff. It was a deal that was a horrible deal for our country.
President Trump says negotiations with Canada will resume soon, but he's also threatened to remove Canada from the deal if it fails to make concessions. Meanwhile, in Mexico, the latest data shows the country's trade deficit nearly doubled in July, reaching more than $2.8 billion, with imports outpacing exports. Petroleum imports, including gasoline and natural gas, rose more than 56%. Pope Francis is under scrutiny for refusing to answer questions over whether he helped cover up sexual misconduct. Over the weekend, an archbishop said the Pope knew about past sexual misconduct by a cardinal, Theodore McCarrick of Washington, but chose to rehabilitate him, despite sanctions from the previous pope. McCarrick resigned in July following a separate accusation of sexual abuse he says he does not recall. Sales of sparkling water are surging in the U.S. as consumers opt for healthier beverages. Industry tracker Beverage Marketing Corp. says Americans will buy an estimated 821 million gallons of sparkling water this year, nearly triple the amount since 2008. Sparkling water brands are also trying new variations to keep consumers coming back, including caffeinated and alcoholic versions of their products. Still to come, how the split between McCain and Trump speaks to larger divisions within the Republican Party. The tensions between President Donald Trump and the late Senator John McCain have come to symbolize a greater split within the Republican Party, one that could have implications for the party's identity for years to come. Joining us now from Washington to discuss the divide is Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas. Peter, we saw the tension between McCain and Trump many times, both personally and politically. In separating the two, would you say it's a bit more complicated than just sort of saying this comes down to traditionalist versus nationalist?
Yes, I would. I think that overlaid on that backdrop is the fact that there was a personal animus here. These two men did not get along, did not particularly like one another. And that played out in many ways. In 2015, as a newly minted candidate for president, Donald Trump talked about John McCain, and he said he didn't have regard necessarily for his Vietnam service or the fact that John McCain was captured and taken prisoner by the North Vietnamese. He said he likes pilots who don't get shot down. And it was a tremendous backlash about that, and it looked like Donald Trump might pay a severe price for it, but he really didn't. Obviously, he went on and won the Republican nomination. And it shows you a split within the Republican Party, that there were many Republicans who were forgiving of that kind of statement, many Republicans who didn't necessarily feel that more establishment politicians like John McCain were serving their interests well. And Trump was able to ride that wave all the way to the White House.
To further complicate matters, many have pointed to McCain's 2008 pick of then-Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as his running mate as a move that in many ways paved the way for Trump by appealing to a more populist sector within the Republican Party.
Yes, that's exactly right. So it's kind of ironic because given the animosity between the two and the ideological split between John McCain and Donald Trump, in a sense, it was John McCain who might have launched the Trump candidacy by introducing Sarah Palin to the nation. Sarah Palin at the time was a little-known half-term Alaska governor who really was a precursor to the populist message and the populist spirit and the nationalist focus that Donald Trump would embrace 8 years later. So in a sense, John McCain showed that there was a path for a candidate like Donald Trump, by demonstrating the success of Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin had great appeal to the Republican base. She got tremendous reception and tremendous reaction when she at campaign rallies. And Donald Trump tapped into that and capitalized on it successfully.
Now, Peter, going back to McCain and Trump, they didn't ever really reconcile their fundamental differences. What might that tell us about the party's wider efforts to define itself?
Well, it's really up for grabs in some sense. I mean, our poll, it shows that almost 90% of Republicans support Donald Trump. I mean, this really is, the Republican Party is really Donald Trump's party. He owns it, and they are loyal and beholden to him. But we talked to people for our story who also mentioned that there is going to be a battle for the identity and soul of the Republican Party after Trump leaves the scene. And there are plenty of Republican voices who are uncomfortable with the nationalist focus, the concerns about immigration that Trump has raised. And they want what they describe as a more inclusive party, a party that's maybe even more bipartisan in its orientation, that's less focused on the conservative base. So that battle is yet to be waged. And in a sense, the future and identity of the Republican Party is still up for grabs.
And a battle we might see play out in the upcoming midterm elections, perhaps, as Republicans hope to hold on to certain seats?
Well, the midterm elections will tell us a lot. If the Republicans experience great setbacks in the midterm elections, if the Democrats regain control of the House, and if they take the Senate, I think there's going to be a reckoning in the Republican Party where Republicans are going to wonder if hitching their wagon to Donald Trump is really a good idea. So I think the midterms will decide, in some sense, the future of Trumpism. If Republicans are able to stave off big Democratic gains, however, the party will probably pretty solidly remain in Trump's grip, at least while he's still in the White House.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Nicholas joining us from Washington. Thanks so much, Peter.
Great to be with you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.